Colonel Draffin Reel 3. Now, moving on to the period from 1932 to 1936, you spent a year at Shorncliffe, a single station, and then some 3 years at Aldershot, a brigade station. During that four-year period, was there any further training with tank corps units?
Certainly not at Shorncliffe, because there were no tank corps regiments at Shorncliffe and at Aldershot. What period do you say? Up to 36? 36.
Well, I'm probably trying to ask you to cover too wide a span. Well, let's talk about Shorncliffe first. You say there was no training.
In single stations, I explained to you, that meant just one cavalry regiment. There wasn't, as a rule, any great manoeuvres of any sort. In fact, as far as I can remember, at Shorncliffe, there were none at all while we were there.
What kind of training did you do at Shorncliffe?
Just purely individual squadron regimental training, probably with infantry, because there was an infantry brigade there, but no other horse or mechanized regiment there at all. Mm.
And this was the same kind of training you've already described to me.
Yes, you see it. When I said that soldiers enlisted for 7 and 5, 7 were the colours and 5 were the reserve, it soon goes, that period of the colour service, and so you're continually losing your men onto the reserve and getting more recruits in. So there's always a lot of individual training to go on within a regiment.
Mechanization of the bays began in 1936.
Yes.
How long in advance of things beginning to happen did you learn that you were going to be mechanized? Did you know for several years?
I suppose we must have done. I can't say that I recall much about it, but we must have known, I think. I don't know whether that book would say anything about it, but I personally don't remember very much about it.
Did mechanization begin before you went to Tidworth in 1936?
We were still at Shorncliffe, is that right?
Shorncliffe, Aldershot and Tidworth, Tidworth 36. So what I'm asking is...
Where were we? At Aldershot or at Shorncliffe?
When?
When you're asking me, I'm getting a bit tied up with it.
You went to Tidworth with your regiment to join the Mechanized Cavalry Brigade at the beginning of 1936.
Yes.
And before you went there, you had been on the brigade station at Aldershot.
Yes.
And I was asking whether mechanization began at Aldershot, or did you do no...
No, didn't.
I see. Well, in that case, let's concentrate on the period at Tidworth when things began to happen. By the time you moved to Tidworth, had the regiment acquired any armoured vehicles?
I would say... I can't be absolutely 100% certain, but I think I'm fairly certain. I think we had some of these little scout cars, and perhaps a lorry. I'm sure we had a lorry or two, because they were really part of a cavalry regiment. When they had horses, we had a lorry for collecting, anyhow in peacetime, for rations and all that sort of thing.
When the regiments, well, the brigade as it was, the first mechanized brigade, when your mechanization period began, how were officers of the regiments given their initial training in matters mechanical?
By being sent to Bovington. Every officer did a course at Bovington. We sent, as far as I remember, three officers for a period of, well, if I looked it up, it'd be there, but I think it was about 6 months, I think.
Yes.
And everybody did that, except perhaps the colonel, I suppose, I don't know.
And how was the training course for officers at Bovington organised?
Well, like all schools, they're always broken up into classes of 10 officers, about the maximum, and you're taken at Bovington. They were taken by a senior tank corps NCO, a sergeant or sergeant major. And then there were general lectures for all the officers and all the other ranks on the other side of the school, as you might say, for lectures every day of some sort.
On what sort of subjects?
Well, on, as far as I remember, it would cover quite a lot of subjects. It would cover a lot of Bovington. You did a lot of, obviously, of practical mechanization, but you also did theory in these lectures.
Mm-hmm.
And you did, at Bovington, you did wireless and that sort of thing, and gunnery, apart from the mechanization of the actual tank. So there were three sort of things you did.
Yes. You were taught to drive as well, presumably.
Yes. Not a lot, but you were taught to drive. The design of the tank was always changing. So no sooner did you learn to drive one, they probably brought out another one.
Mm-hmm. How did you take to the driving course? Was it straightforward or
not? Oh, yes. Yes, it was. I think we all enjoyed getting it into a tank and starting whistling about on Bovington, around Bovington and that part of the world.
I'm interested that you say you enjoyed it, because I imagine you were all a bit sort of apprehensive at first. Did you find, when you came down to it, things weren't quite as bad as you had
perhaps
thought?
Yes, and it was something new. Everybody likes something new, I think. You know, it was with horses or with infantry or with anything, it becomes a bit of a grind, the same thing day after day and week after week. And if you're getting onto something new, I think you enjoy it.
Yes. The gunnery, how much firing did you do and what kind of weapons?
Now you've got me. But the, you see, we were only in light tanks. The tank corps had, as I'm sure you know from visiting some of the bigger tanks, but we only had the light ones, as if we were still being used as reconnaissance. As a horse regiment, you see, and those light tanks only had a. Oh, I was reading about it the other day. A very small gun, actually.
Mm, yes.
Very small gun.
So that a Vickers machine gun.
They had a thing called a Beezer or something, which was a little bit bigger than a rifle. Thing, but they also had a, what were they called, anyhow,
well, never
they
mind.
Fired a shell, anyhow, a small shell.
Mm. after you completed your course at Bovington and returned to join the regiment at Tidworth, did your training continue there?
Well, I think we're about 1938 now, would you say?
37, 38, yes. Hmm.
Well, I was posted to the Mechanized Cavalry Depot.
Yes, well, before you were posted there, you were at Tidworth still for a while.
Yes.
You were telling me last time about the inadequacies of equipment.
Yes, I can remember that. But I, because it was really passionate, as I said, there nothing in the way of... I can't ever remember seeing a tank, lorries, and small scout cars and motorbikes.
How did you manage to continue your training without any tanks? Did you have any devices to...
Well, they probably had models and things in the classrooms, you see. Mm. And all that sort of thing.
But you were telling me that you had some exercises and you had to use flags instead of tanks.
Yes.
Could you give me a bit of detail about that? I mean, what was going on exactly?
Well, I can only explain that we hadn't any tanks, not for outdoor work. There was probably perhaps half a dozen or perhaps not as many on the strength of the regiment, which were kept for instructional purpose in the barracks. And so outside, when we did these so-called exercises, which were a farce really, we were, me, if I was a squadron leader, I'd have one 1,500-weight truck with a flag which was supposed to represent a squadron, which was very, I suppose, they couldn't do anything else, but I was stupid, just whistling around on a truck, saying I'm here and there and everywhere, and this is a squadron over there. Because that's all there was. And not much more when we went to France.
Without any tanks, apart from these exercises, how in fact did you fill your time when you were supposed to be being mechanised?
Well, there was, as I said, there was a lot to learn in the barrack room, but not much outside. I mean, we had experts in wireless, probably all our, I think we sent, you know, people to the signal school and to the gunnery school, more than one probably, two or three, and they came back. And they taught, took their classes like I explained at Bovington.
You said you had some civilians who came and talked to you.
Well, that was off the book, really. I mean, that was the colonel who had been in the flying corps, actually, and he had a lot of pals, and so he got old pals down. We had Malcolm Campbell, I think I told you, to come and talk, just on generalisation, really.
Generalisation?
Of mechanized things.
What on earth could Malcolm Campbell have had to say about
wasn't he the big motoring expert?
Yes, but that doesn't make him a big tank expert, does it?
No, but he knew the insides of his motor, I expect.
He was telling you how an engine worked,
wasn't that sort of thing.
Yes.
I mean, half of us didn't know why the motor went, really.
You left Tidworth at the end of 1937. At that point, how would you describe the degree to which the bays had been effectively mechanized? Would you at that stage have regarded them as an effective mechanized unit?
No.
Why
far
not?
From it.
Why not?
Well, we had no tanks. And when we went to, how far we got to 1938? When we went to France in 1939, whatever it was, when they loaded the so-called tanks on the boat at Southampton, they didn't have any guns or wireless in them. They didn't have them. So that was the form we were trying to compete with.
Mm-hmm. You went to the Mechanized Cavalry Depot at Catterick,
yes,
at the beginning of 38. What was the purpose of the depot? Why it had been set up?
Well, like any depot in the old days, like the cavalry depot at Canterbury, recruits coming in. A regiment doesn't really want to be laboured with a lot of new recruits on a new subject to us, and so as far as possible, they reported to Catterick. It was a big organisation.
This had just been set up at this time.
It was just set up at that time, but it had well, every cavalry regiment had to send two officers there with mechanisation experience and other ranks accordingly, and they were all highly skilled instructors picked out purposely for the purpose of running the cavalry depot.
And were the staff of instructors exclusively drawn from cavalry regiments?
Yes.
So you didn't have any tank corps personnel there?
I think about two. And two, maybe three, and two or three signal people.
And the purpose of this depot was really for the cavalry, mechanized cavalry regiments, to provide recruits with the same kind of training as Bovington provided for the tank corps.
That's right.
Yes. How did it compare with Bovington? Because you'd been to both.
Well, it was, of course, in its initial stage, Bovington was an established establishment, as you might say. Catterick was feeling its feet very much. In fact, I don't think it was really getting going at 100% when the war started.
In what kind of things was Catterick deficient?
Well, I can't tell you. I wasn't I was an administrative chap there, but all I can tell you is that the so-called officer instructions were always coming into my office saying, for God's sake, get us this, get us this, we want more of this and more of that. And it, in many cases, wasn't available.
Was this more of everything that was wanted, or more of some particular things?
Well, I think it was pretty well with everything. I mean, anything that was urgently needed by the field force, of course, went to the field force first. And by 1939 or whatever it was, they were over in France, or some of them were anyhow.